Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of the channel, welcome back to another episode of our series In the Footsteps of the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wa Ala Alayhi Wasallam. There are many blessings and virtues in sending salawat upon the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final Prophet and Messenger of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wa Ala Alayhi Wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has stated, "Man salla alayya salatan wahidatan sallallahu alayhi ashra," that he who recites salat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall bestow 10 blessings upon that person. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And if it was mashallah wa azzal, within this series of ours where we hear about the blessed life, the biography, some of the events which transpired during the blessed seerah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. And previously we heard that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had arrived in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. Yes, that hijrah, the migration of the Muslims first, and many of the Muslims, not all of them, and then eventually Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Amir ibn Fuhayra radiallahu anhu, and their guide Abdullah ibn Urayqid, they had traveled from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. And when they arrived in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, what happened? The people were calling out to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The men were saying, "Ya Rasulullah, stay at our house. Ya Rasulullah, stay at our house." The young girls of Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, they would climb their roofs and they would recite poetry, "Tala al-Badru alayna min thaniyat al-wada'i wa jabash-shukru alayna ma da'a lillahi da'a." This is what the young girls of Al-Madinah al-Munawwara were doing. So this was various people expressing their happiness of the coming of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam to Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. And eventually, when the camel did settle, it was next to the house of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. Or as we mentioned previously, that house built by Tubba' al-Himyri for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Today, inshallah, we shall move on from there. So now, we've heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he has decided to stay, or it has been predestined for him to stay at the house of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu says that when Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed with us, when he arrived in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, he says, "I was on the upper floor." Yes, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, this was the agreement they made. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stays at, he stayed in the lower part of the house. So there were two floors, you can say if you wish, yes. Two floors. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in the lower part. And Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, along with his family, he stayed in the upper floor. Or the ground floor or the first floor. So he stayed in the first floor, you can say. Now, in fact, something to note here is generally at that time, people did not have different floors. However, in Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, the Banu Najjar, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radhiyallahu anhu was from the Banu Najjar, and they had amongst the best of homes. Those same homes built, yes, specifically by a king for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So subhanAllah, there's a beauty in that, isn't there? And Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radhiyallahu anhu, he would stay on the upper floor and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam on the lower floor. And he says, "I said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Nabi Allah, the old Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may my mother and my father be sacrificed for you." He says, "I feel uncomfortable and I consider it improper for me to be above you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst you are below me, Allahu Akbar, whilst I am on the upper floor, and you know, how can I be on the upper floor whilst you are on the floor which is beneath me? Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should I move to the lower floor? And you stay on the upper floor, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, it is easier for us as well as those who are going to visit us. Yes, it's easier for us as well as the people who are going to visit us if we were to stay on the lower floor. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he decided that he's going to stay on the lower floor. Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radhiyallahu anhu is going to stay on the upper floor. And then he describes this. And the description is so beautiful. Firstly, let's give it a second to take in. Let's imagine having a guest at your home. Imagine a guest. Imagine this guest was to be like, you know, a celebrity, somebody you look up to, somebody famous, somebody you look up to. And then imagine it's the greatest of all mankind, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself coming to your home. Allahu Akbar, now it's become a blessed home. And then he says that whilst I was with Ummi Ayyub, and I was said that he's a beloved wife, radhiallahu anha, and he says that whilst I was with my wife, Umm Ayyub, and we would stay on the upper floor, and we would always be very, very careful because, you know, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is on the floor below. Allahu Akbar. And he would say to his wife that, you know, what do we do? Because, you know, he's asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given this reason, and he's like, what do we do? So he says that the entire night we would not sleep, meaning he would always be thinking about this for most of the night, or possibly the entire night. You know, that we would not be able to sleep, or we would not be able to rest, sleep properly, you can say, Wallahu A'lam, during the entire night. And so they move not just to the side, but to the side, to the corner of the house. So they think, you know, there's no way we could be above Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar, this is beautiful. He says that one day, whilst we were like this, we had a jar. Yes, a jug of water, you can say. There was a jug of water. And then what happened is, accidentally, of course, this jug of water broke. And Ummi Ayyub, and meaning both husband and wife, said Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radhiallahu anhu, as well as his wife, he says they both immediately stood up, and they only had one piece of cloth between them, one blanket. That's it. They only had one piece of cloth, and that one piece of cloth they need for sleep. What do? They rush. They quickly get up, and that one piece, that one blanket that they had, that small, thin, wallahu alam, that blanket that they had, the only blanket, they use that to rush quickly, and they dry the water with that blanket. Allahu Akbar. Why? Out of fear. What if even a single drop was to fall through and disturb the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allahu Akbar. And then in the morning again he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're deserving of the upper floor. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course he agrees. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then moves to the upper floor. Remember, this was all before the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved out, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first built the masjid, and we're going to speak about this in the future. That first he built the masjid before he built his own home. Subhanallah, that's beautiful in itself. But temporarily, he was living at the house of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radhiallahu anhu, or you can say his own house in which Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radhiallahu anhu was living. And Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radhiallahu anhu, he mentions another event. He says that we used to always prepare lunch, dinner, whatever food it would be, is possibly one time a day. That we used to prepare food for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we used to go give this to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had eaten, then whatever was remaining that Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radhiallahu anhu and his beloved wife radhiallahu anha, they would eat this food. Not only that, they would first analyze, they would look at the food. Yes, they would look at the food and study the food very carefully. And they would see, where is it that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate from? Which place did the blessed hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam touch? they will also take it from the same place and touch the same place, seeking blessings from that very same place. Allahu Akbar. This is subhanAllah. No doubt just the Messenger of Allah being there is such a huge blessing for them. But then at the same time, trying to gain as many blessings as they could from Rasulullah is an opportunity. I could eat the leftover food. Yeah, eating the leftover food. Okay, not only that. But then see, where did the Messenger of Allah touch it from? Yes, let's touch that part too to gain barakah from it. Allahu Akbar. And this is one day, we send food to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he then returned that food without eating. And how does he know this? Because again, he studies it carefully and thinks, this has been completely untouched. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not eat this. It says, you know, I was alarmed, quite worried too. Oh no, is there something wrong with the food? You know, was it not made properly? Does Rasulullah not like this food? You know, what's the problem? He's worried now. You know, this is Rasulullah, the greatest guest he can ever have. Imagine you to have a guest, you want food to be good. Yes, he's provided food, but then the Messenger had returned it. Allahu Akbar, what do I do? He's returned the food. And he approaches Rasulullah and says, Ya Rasulullah, you know, I notice that you did not like the food. Is everything okay? Shall I prepare something else? You know, what is it, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, I found the smell of such and such tree. The scholars say, you know, there was onion or garlic. The onion or garlic was used in the food. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I am a person who converses with others, meaning angels, but you can still eat it. SubhanAllah, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radhiyallahu anhu, he says, okay, so we ate it. But then he says, after that, we never ever did we prepare that same dish again for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. These are some of the events, some of the experiences of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said that when Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he came to Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. At that time, remember, initially it was known as Yathrib. And later it became known as Madinat al-Nabi. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited people to then after call this place Yathrib, to call it Yathrib. No, it was now Madinat al-Nabi, Madinat al-Rasul. It's famously known as Al-Madinat al-Munawwara, the illuminating city. But at that time, initially, this was the most disease-ridden land from the lands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they traveled to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, they missed their home. You see, it was not normal. It was amongst the greatest of punishments. It was just like the punishment before death for somebody to be exiled from the land. So it was not normal for people to leave the land. They had to migrate and leave the land. And then they came to a land which was plague-ridden. It was filled with plague for that time. What happened? Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, Sayyidina Amir ibn Fuhayra radhiyallahu anhu, Sayyidina Bilal radhiyallahu anhu, yes, others too, they all became ill. Sayyidina Aisha radhiyallahu anha, she says that, you know, I heard that my father had become ill, so she approaches the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do I have permission to meet them? She says, can I approach my father? So she comes to her father, and she also states that this was before the time of the veiling. Why? Because it wasn't only her father who was there, but there was others. Amr ibn Fahira was there. Sayyidina Bilal, they were all in the same room. And she says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he granted me permission to go and visit them. And when I came to them, they were all in one room sitting together, and I saw permission to come in, they allowed me. And she says that whenever Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu ta'ala anhu, whenever he was overcome by the fever, he would keep mentioning some verses of poetry. Yes? What is it that he would say? He would say that every man is, he awakes and he spends the morning with his family. Well, maut and death is adana min shiraki na'alihi. That death is closer to him than the strap of his shoes. You can say than the shoelaces. And Sayyidina Aisha radhiallahu anha, she asks Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu that, you know, subhanAllah, how are you? Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is reciting the verses of poetry. They were not his own, they were by some other people. The scholars have mentioned who they were from. And Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, she's saying that subhanAllah, inna lillah, that we are, you know, we belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she says, you know, I think my father's a little delirious at the moment. You know, he's not sure what he's saying because he's overcome by the fever. You know, I've asked him one thing and he's saying another thing. And then she says, I moved forward, I went to Sayyidina Amir ibn Fuhayra and I asked him, how have you? And Sayyidina Amir ibn Fuhayra radiallahu anhu, he says something along the lines of, I have tasted death even before experiencing it. And he says that indeed a coward's death, it comes to him from above. Every person strives with his full effort like a bull that protects his nose from his horn. So again she's thinking, Allahu Akbar. You know, this person also doesn't know what he's saying. SubhanAllah. I mean, you know, I'm asking him one thing, he's going and reciting these verses of poetry. And then she goes to Sayyidina Bilal, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He would cry out some verses. He says that, you know, how I wish. He says, I wish so much. How I wish if I could spend a night in the valley, biwadin, in a valley, referring to the valley of Makkah al-Mukarramah. And beside me, if there was only to be idhkhar, Wajalil. So idhkhar is a native plant found within Makkah al-Mukarramah, and Jalil is another very, very weak plant. So this is what he's saying. Again, these are not his own verses. This is something the Banu Khuza'a, when they were exiled from Makkah al-Mukarramah, they made this poetry. So he's saying, you know, I understand how they feel, because now in a way they migrated, but they've also sort of been exiled from Makkah al-Mukarramah too. And he says, I just wish I could spend one more night surrounded, you know, even on the floors. Remember, he was a slave of Makkah. Sayyidina Bilal radhiallahu anhu was a slave of Makkah. He loved, because Makkah was his land, it was his home. Yes, home sweet home. Makkah was his home. And he's missing Makkah al-Mukarramah. And they've come to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. Allahu Akbar. Then he sends la'anat, he curses. He curses, he says, Ya Allah, curse who? Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, Shaybah ibn Rabi'ah. These were specific, what? Umayyah ibn Khalaf. These were specific enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, these people, yes, it was these people who sent us away. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Aisha radhiallahu anha, she says that when we entered Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, it was the most disease-ridden lands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Bilal radhiallahu anhu, he says that, you know, may Allah ta'ala curse those people, wa akhrajuna min ardina ila ardil waba, that they exiled us from our land to a land of plague. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Aisha radhiallahu anha, she then goes back to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and she informs and tells the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she says, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, this is, you know, they're confused, they're delirious, this is the state. Ya Rasulullah, you know, I don't know what they are saying. They have been overcome by the severity of this fever, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then it stated that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes a beautiful dua. He makes such a beautiful dua. He says, Allahumma habib ilayna al-Madina ka hubbina Makkah aw ashad. He says, Ya Allah, make Madina beloved to us. Yes, make it beloved to us just as you made Makkah al-Mukarramah beloved to us. Ya Allah, even more. Make Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara even more beloved to us. And then he says, Barik lana fi sa'ina wa muddina. He says that, Ya Allah, grant us blessings in our sa' and our mud. These are the particular measures. You can say the units of measurement. Sa' is a little larger and mud a little smaller. Wa sahiha lana. And Ya Allah, make this land healthy for us. Allahu Akbar. And no doubt the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was accepted to such an extent that the air, the soil, the inhabitants, and everything within Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, life within Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara became completely wholesome and one filled with barakah. Allahu Akbar. And some of the scholars have stated that those people who live in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, that they would state that there is a fragrance emitting from the walls and in the air of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, which cannot be found anywhere else. People that go to visit Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, they testify to the beauty of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. Allama Shami Rahmalahu Ta'ala, he states, and the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would regularly always make dua. He would always make dua to make Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara beloved. Ya Allah, grant blessings in the fruits of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. And he would continue to do dua. Yes, it was accepted. But with the continuation of the repetition of dua, no doubt there was also additional blessings being bestowed upon Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. Whether you look at a religious day or even in the worldly matter. Because the scholars state that if you were to take a mud or a sa' of something within Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, there is so many more blessings in that than any other place outside Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he also adds the dua. He says, okay, what is going to happen with this plague? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ya Allah, send and move this fever within Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. Ya Allah, send it to Juhfa. Juhfa was a town which is mentioned about 80 or so miles away from Makkah al-Mukarramah. And this was a place where those who claim to follow Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, this is where they would live. Nowadays, this is a miqat for those coming from even Syria, from Egypt. This is Madhivi wa Salih. We have run out of time. But inshallah, we shall speak more on this in the next episode. This is a little from the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No doubt we can appreciate to an extent. You know, if you leave your home for some time, you really, really miss it. Yes? And Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, from being a place of fever, now it is now such a place where Shaykh Muhakkik Abdul Haq Muhaddis Adelwi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he states that if a person was to travel to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, place his hands on the ground and wipe it, its soil against his face, he would be granted shifa. This is the beauty of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. That's all for today, inshallah. So much more to discuss next time. Join us next time for more of In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam.
Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the Prophet, with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the Prophet, with faith and steadfast.